And we are going to read from verse 1.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again.
If you judge somebody, somebody is going to judge you back. And that's what he says. If you judge somebody, they are going to judge. Whatever they measure you judging them, they are going to judge you back. So many people, when they hear this scripture in the Bible, they say, hey, why are you judging us? The Bible says, don't judge. The Word of God saying, you judge not people, so they will not judge you. And then he giving an example underneath. Let's read verse 3 and 4.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote?
One more time.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?
Now here Jesus Christ is saying, you are looking at your brother, and you are finding some fault in him, and you want to correct him. Just like somebody goes to preach somebody or tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Once you see the person and start talking to that person about his bad habits or his religion and everything bad about him, he's not going to listen to us. So the Word of God is saying that when we read in the Bible, John chapter 3, and verse 17, he says, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but through him the whole world should be saved. So we are not here to condemn people. We are here to build the people. So when we see somebody first time and they have some problems, we are going to love them in the Lord first and tell them the truth. And now somebody says, we should not anytime tell other people their faults. Let them do whatever they want to do because we cannot judge them. Bible doesn't teach that. Here it's itself, it says, first of all, if you have a log in your eyes, he said. Actually, nobody can have the log, but this is just the saying it. Means you have more problems when you're pointing a finger to somebody, you are wrong, the other finger is pointing to you. Check yourself before you point finger to somebody else. If I'm smoking, I cannot tell somebody, hey, don't smoke. That person is going to say, you smoking, why are you telling us? Then somebody says, oh, I'm old man, I lived along, now you're a young man, you don't smoke. That person is not going to listen. That's what the Word of God is saying. First of all, if you want to correct somebody, you should not be doing the same mistake. If you're doing the same mistake, you have no authority to correct that person. Verse 5, Matthew 7, 5.
Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
You are hypocrite. You have problem your own. You have bad habits. You are living sinful life, and you are trying to find fault in somebody. So he is saying, if your eyes are clear, if there is no log in your eyes, and if your life is pure, then you could say to somebody, see brother or see sister, I used to smoke, I used to drink, I used to gamble, I used to do all kinds of sin, I used to beat my wife, I was running after somebody, but Jesus Christ came into my life and he changed my life. Now I have peace, I have joy. Would you like to hear more about Jesus? Then the person will think, well, this man's life is pure and holy. He's better than me. So that person will listen to you. If you start thinking, I cannot judge somebody because Bible says if you judge somebody, they are going to judge you. And so I don't want to judge anybody. That means nobody will preach the gospel. Nobody will tell somebody Jesus Christ came for sinners and you are a sinner and you have to repent of your sin. People will not be having courage to preach that kind of message. That's what the Bible says. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 2 to 5. Here St. Paul is saying, in a church, there should be people godly, wise people, the experienced people. And if somebody does something wrong in the church, or they disobey the word of God, then the church member, the actually pastor or deacon or assistant pastor, they can go to that person and try to correct it. And some church people are afraid to tell somebody that you are wrong. That's why St. Paul is giving advice here.
Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
God has given authority to judge the whole world. We are the people of God. We were sinners. God called us out of the sin. We're living pure and holy life. So we have authority to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and about their sinful life. Verse 3.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Now here is saying, not only judging the whole world, but we will have authority to judge the angels. He's talking about this end timing. So Jesus Christ said, you will be kings and priests in the millennium. When we are priests and kings, then we have authority to judge. A judge has authority, governor has authority, and the king has the authority. So we will be judging the people in the millennium. So he said, you will judging the world, you will judge the angels. Why can you understand if there is a problem in the church, you cannot judge? Verse 4.
If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren?
See, here he's saying, why cannot you judge your own people? Why you allow them to go to court? Now, brothers and sisters in the church, if they are going to same church, they are born again people, and if they have dispute between one another, a pastor is supposed to say, don't drag this person to court. Let's handle it here. And let's forgive one another and forget about this. And that's what he's saying in the church. They should be wise people. They should be godly people and take care of the church brothers and sisters' problem. So here he's saying, you have authority to judge, but you cannot judge somebody if you're doing the same mistake. If you're doing the same thing, there are some people, they do the same thing and they hide that and they try to show somebody that they are good people. I have seen so many church leaders or pastors, they might be smoking, they might be drinking, they might be doing something wrong, but when they come to the pulpit, they try to say, I'm a holy man. The one man invited me to his church and he was smoking. And I don't know his church member knew that. It's a long story, but when he came to preach, he washed his face and preached. And what he was preaching? He was preaching there is nothing impossible with God. And then he called the people for prayer. And then I said to him, after everybody left, I went to his office. I said, sir, is that preaching for you or for somebody else? Because you said there is nothing impossible with God, and you are smoking yourself. And you just washed your face and you just showed them that I'm a good man and I can pray for you and God can hear my prayer. Now, why I was able to tell him? Because I don't smoke. So I have authority to tell that pastor, you're not supposed to smoke and you're not supposed to preach like that. There is nothing impossible with God. If it's nothing impossible with God for those people, the same words apply to you. You should be confessing your sins and you should be asking God to forgiveness. So here the word of God is saying, you have authority to judge somebody, but you cannot judge somebody if you're doing the same thing. Otherwise, you will be hypocrite. Matthew 7:6.
Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Now somebody will say, I don't understand what he's trying to say. Don't give holy thing to dogs. He's not talking about the real dogs. He's talking about the people who act like dogs. Now, who are the people act like dog? The backslidden ones. They went to church, they stayed in the Lord for a while, and they give up on Christianity, doing some other religion or living in sin. Those people are called dogs because dog vomits and takes it back. And that's the kind of people the Word of God says they are dogs. So he says, don't give holy things to dog. What would happen? If one person is backslidden, he turned his back to Christ, and you are a new believer, or maybe 4 or 5 years in the Lord, and you go and try to tell that person, you know what? Bible says this and Bible says that. He'll say, I know everything. Don't tell me. Go and tell somebody else. Because he knew the truth. Now he's denying the truth and he's going other way. He's not going to listen. These holy words looks like bad things to him. So the Word of God says, don't give these holy things to the dogs. And then he says, don't cast your pearls in front of swines. Now the swines also is the type of backslidden person. Chapter 2, that's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. Here he's saying that the people who knew the truth and went back to the world, those people are called pigs and dogs. Why pigs? You take the pigs, wash with the soap and water, put the perfume and dry it very well, and leave that pig alone, that pig goes back to the dirt and gets dirty. So those people are like a backslidden people. They are called dogs and pigs. So he said, if you take the pearls and cast in front of the real pig or real swine, what that swine will do? It will trample on those pearls and come to attack you and tear your clothes apart. And so same may will happen if you go and try to bring the backslidden person to Christ. He is going to ruin your life if you don't have the experience to bring that person to Christ. Only way you can do, pray hard, put that person in the hand of God and pray. The Word of God says in book of Ezekiel 33 chapter verse 8 and 9, it says, go and preach to the person who is in sin. And if you don't preach to that person, I will ask his blood to you. But if you preached and if he didn't listen, then I will not ask his blood on you. I will ask his blood on him. So when I was a young boy and I listened to that word, I thought saying, Lord, I want to go and preach to the whole world. I don't want their blood coming on me. Here the Word of God is saying, we have responsibility to bring those people to Christ. But the backslidden people, if they have more experience than you and they left Christianity, it will be difficult for new believer bring them to the Lord. He says they will come back like a vicious animal and tear you apart. So leave them alone. Just pray for them. Verse 7, Matthew 7:7.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
When you need something, ask, and it shall be given unto you. But the original language says, ask and keep on asking until you get the answer. Knock and keep on knocking until you get the answer. And he says, seek and keep on seeking until you find. Then here he says, everybody who seeks, he'll find it. Everybody who knocks, the door will be open. That means there is a promise. When you ask, the answer will come. And then he gives an example, the ordinary father. He says, if the son asks father, give me a bread, that father will not give stone. If the son asks him, give me a fish, his father will not give him a serpent. But Matthew just stopped it there. Luke says a little bit more. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 12. Luke 11, 12.
Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
So here he's saying stone, serpent, or scorpion. So he says the worldly people know how to do good to their children. Now Matthew says in chapter 7 verse 11, the worldly people give good things to their children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask Him. Now Matthew says good things, but the Luke, you are in Luke, read verse 13.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Now somebody will say, why Matthew says good things? Why Luke says the Holy Spirit? Do you know one man came to Jesus and said, good master? What Jesus said? Why are you calling me good? Only God is good. So that means God is good, Holy Spirit is good. So when God is pleased with you, He will give you the best gift. And the best gift is the Holy Spirit. So he says, when God is pleased with you and you asking God, He will give you the Holy Spirit. Why we need the Holy Spirit? To guide us, to lead us, and to take us in all truth. So here the word of God is saying, if you are lacking the Holy Spirit, what you do? You ask. Holy Spirit does not come automatically. Some people say, oh, I got the Holy Spirit automatically. Doesn't come. Holy Spirit will not come on unsaved people. The born again people call the children of God. And the Holy Spirit is given to the children. That's why he says, if the Son asks to the Father, he asks bread, he will not give stone. He will ask fish, he will not give serpent. If he asks egg, he will not give scorpion. So the worldly father knows how to do good things. If you ask the Heavenly Father, He will give you the Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit is very important gift in Christian life. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 12.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Jesus Christ is saying, if you want somebody to do something good to you, do the same thing to them. Now I'll give you an example. Just think that you want somebody to salute you. So you cannot tell somebody, hey, salute me. You have to salute that person first. When you say hello, somebody will say hello. And so if you give somebody a glass of water, they will be treating you friendly. So how you treat other people and how you want other people to treating you, so you treat them first that way, then they will be treating you the same way. Read in the similar way in Luke chapter 6 verse 31.
And as he would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
See, whatever you want other people to do to you, do exactly to those people and they will do it. When you do this way, This is the way all the laws and all the prophets, what they're telling, it will be done. That means you will be not in fault. Go to the Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
If you do these two commandments, loving the Lord and loving your neighbors, then all the Ten Commandments fulfilled. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, if you do good to somebody, whatever you want them to do to you, then all the law and prophets, they were saying all things that will be fulfilled. Because the Old Testament, it says, love thy neighbor. That's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Please read.
Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord.
You should love your neighbor like yourself. But it was not easy for those people to obey that commandment. That commandment only fulfilled by Christ. And Christ showed us how to love one another. You remember one time one lawyer came and says, "Who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus Christ gave an example, and he said, the man was traveling, and a thief came, and robber came, and took all of his money, and beat him up, and he was almost half dead. One Pharisee came and walked away, one priest came and walked away, and nobody took care, and then the Samaritan man came, and he took care of him, and he took him to the hotel or motel, and paid the money, and said, "If I come back, I'll give you more." So Jesus says, "Who was his neighbor?" Then this lawyer said, I hope that Samaritan was his neighbor." So the point Jesus Christ was saying, you don't look at your own people. Now, some people, they like their own people, they like their own color, they like their own language, they like their own nationality, and they are prejudiced. And the Word of God says, God so loved the whole world, and he gave his Son as a sacrifice for the whole world. So Jesus Christ showed us what love is all about. That's why on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 14.
"For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
See, all the law is fulfilled in this. That means if you love your neighbor and your neighbor start loving you, we will not have any crimes, no jails, no police officer, nothing. Because we will be not killing, robbing, or envying, or jealous about anybody. If we start loving one another, and you thinking, "Oh, somebody should treat me good, they should love me all the time, they should give me gifts and this and that," he say, start doing that to other people, and they will do it to you. Go back to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 13.
"Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat."
Now, when you hear this, he says there is a strait gate, and very few people go through that gate. But there is another gate, he says, Broadway. You know, in New York, there is a Broadway theater. What the Broadway means, people are saying, "You are very narrow-minded. You should have broad-minded. What do you mean? Your wife should go on with somebody for a vacation and you take somebody's wife and go to vacation. That should be broad-minded people do that." So here the Word of God is saying the broad way leads to hell. He says, but if you want to go to heaven, go straight way. You remember if somebody does something bad thing, what we say to that person, he's a crooked man. Means what? He doesn't want to do the straight things. Crooked means they do some crooked things. So he said, don't go the crooked way, go the straight way. There is only one way to go to heaven. Now there are so many people like to say something good about other religions. Other religions, why these people are doing this? Because they don't have knowledge. Most of the people think all religion, they come from different angles and different roads, but they go to the heaven, the same place. If that's the way it is, then why Jesus Christ came into this world? If anybody can go to heaven without Jesus, then he didn't have to come. What Jesus Christ says, go to the book of St. John chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Now Jesus Christ had the courage to say this. He says, there is only one way. I am the way to heaven. I am telling the truth. I have eternal life. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So he says, I am the life. And if you want to come to Father, come through me. And so the Jesus Christ is the only one can show us who Father is. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, if you read, he says, no man hath seen God anytime. Before Jesus, there were so many religious people came into this world. And different religion have different people, like a Buddha, and some other religious people before Christ.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
So Jesus Christ saying, no man seen God any time. So what he's trying to say, Jesus was only with his Father, and his Father sent him into this world. Jesus only can say, I know my Father, I was with him, and he sent me to die for you. And so if you believe me, I will take you to heaven because I know the way. If somebody knows the way and you want to go to the same place, you can trust that person. If somebody says, follow me, and you follow their car because you know that person knows the road. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He says, I came from heaven. Nobody knew God. So the word of God is saying, if you want to go to heaven, going to heaven is narrow. It's not a narrow, but he's trying to say it's not an easy way. You have to suffer to go to heaven. Going to hell is easy. Going to heaven, you have to give up something. You cannot go to heaven with a sinful desire or sinful activity or having liquor party every day and having 10, 20 girls sitting beside you. And then same time he said, I'm going to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. You have to give up something. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12, read verse 1.
Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
So what he's trying to say, he's saying there are so many people went before us, the holy man of God. They suffer a lot. You have to read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you see their sacrifices. They gave their life for the truth. And they say they are like a cloud of witness all around us. Jesus Christ is a good witness to us. What he did for us. Read the second verse.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
See, he said he had set his eyes that joy and endure the cross. What was his joy? Winning souls for God. Bringing people to the kingdom of God. That was his goal. And so he finished the goal. Now he sat at the right hand of God. Read the verse 3. Now he says, when you're looking unto him, he is the author and finisher of our faith, so we should not be having some kind of discouragement. Read the verse 3.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
Start looking at Jesus, what kind of life he lived, what kind of suffering he did, how he forgave his enemies, and he is the author and finisher of our faith. When we put our faith in him, we will have this kind of courage to go through all kinds of narrow and hard way. Go to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 14.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
The gate is straight, and that gate is narrow way. And very few people find that gate, and many people go to the broad way. So we have to make up our mind. The narrow is the gate. And if you want to save your life, you have to throw the sin away. We read it in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Then you will be having an easy time to run your race. Marathon runners, do they run with a winter jacket and big heavy coat? No. And the bicycler, do they have mountain bike and things like that? They have very thin bike and very lightweight. And the runners, they wear almost like a short pants and a short shirt and things like that. Not only that, if they stop for drinking water or looking back who is coming, they lose the race. So here the word of God saying, narrow road, straight road. Don't look left or right if you're running your race, and so you can make it. And he says, very few people go there. So if your family doesn't want you to go to church, doesn't want to go to heaven, and you start pleasing the family, you will miss the boat. But if you give your life for Christ, then God will save your family. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved and your household. God wants to save our whole family, but one person has to take a lead. And that person can pray and intercede, and the whole family will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Here somebody says, oh, going to heaven is a very narrow road. I don't think I can make it. But by faith, we can do it. We just read it in the book of Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus. And he did it as an example for us. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them.
Yes. So here he's saying, there are people bringing obstacle in your path. They don't want to go to heaven, and they don't want you to go to heaven. And those people are saying, those kinds of people like the wolves in sheep's clothing. They come with a very good, a sweet talk, like a Jehovah's Witnesses, if you don't know, and Mormon. I was just reading the Mormon's pamphlet yesterday. One man, he was Mormon, and he says, Mormon God and Christian God is not the same. Do you know what the name of their church? Latter-day Saints, Church of Jesus Christ. But if you know their doctrine, they say Jesus Christ was the brother of Lucifer. And you know Lucifer is the devil. And he says he was a brother of Lucifer and they are equal. And then say there is a God has a wife in heaven. And he has more children. And who are those children? Those children are different gods. All this kind of mixed up teaching this man had. And he was devoted to their church. And they say if you want to go to heaven, you have to work hard. You know, bring people to Mormon church and this and that. But one day somebody met him and told him about Jesus. He said, you know what? You don't have to do anything. You just ask forgiveness for your sins. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And God you're worshiping, that's not the God of Bible. God of Bible is called the Spirit. St. John chapter 4, verse 24, he says, our God is Spirit. Whoever worships him, they should worship him with the spirit and truth. I didn't know that. So point I'm making, those Mormon people, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and some other denomination people, they come with a sweet talk. But if you don't know the truth, they can mislead you. That's what he says. Those people are false prophet, means false teaching. They come with a false teaching, but they come with like sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are vicious animals. And so he said, how can you figure it out? Only way you can figure it out, he says, you can figure it out from their fruits. Now, what are the fruits? If you read in Galatians chapter 5, and read verse 22 and 23.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
If the person is not born again, these fruits will not be there. I don't care how many times he goes to church, what kind of church he goes, you will not see these fruits in them. They can act like good person, but they are not. There was a Hindu priest, and some person was checking how much good person he is. He goes, takes the bath in his holy river, and comes out, and somebody spits on him. So he goes back again, and he takes the bath, and somebody comes and spits. This man got tired, and then finally he lost his temper and did whatever he wants to do. So the point I'm making, you can only know the people by their fruits. He says, if the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. He says, you don't take the grapes from the thorny tree, and you don't take the olive from the thistles and thorny bushes. So the point he is saying, if somebody is talking about the holiness, godliness, Christianity, and trying to tell you about Jesus, find out if they are living Christian life. Are they really born again? If you are born again, then you have love of Christ in you. You go to some churches. Those people and the worldly people, you don't find any difference. They smoke outside, other people smoke outside. They have girlfriends, other people have girlfriends. They live without marriage, other people live without marriage. What is the difference? Oh, difference is I believe in Jesus, and the other people believe in some other God. What the Word of God says? God has not called us only to believe, but suffer for His sake. Follow Christ. Give a good example. Christian life is the life of Christ. We cannot be hypocrites. People, you know, go to church, and at the same time they go to bar and next minute. So our life should be transformed. The Word of God says, don't you know you are the temple of the living God? And so God lives in you. And if you don't keep this temple holy, then God will destroy you. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. So here the Word of God is saying, you can know those people by their fruits. Don't get confused if somebody says, I'm a Christian and acting like devil. Okay, let's go at verse 21. Please, 21.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
Now here, somebody says, what's wrong if somebody says, oh, I love my God, I love my Father. There are other religious people, they have chanting. They chant about their God's name many, 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 many times. But the life is not changed. We cannot do the exactly like other people. The Word of God says, you cannot say Lord, Lord, Lord and disobey Him. If we say Lord, what does it mean? Lord means He has authority over you. Lord of my life means He is a Lord of my life. Now, if you are married lady, then you have a husband as a head. So you want to do something, you ask your husband a permission. The same way, we have a Lord, means Jesus Christ. We have to know, we are Christian, are we following Christ? And if you don't, then see verse 22. Matthew 7:22.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now somebody will say, and many people are saying, if somebody is casting out devils and doing the Lord's work, they say, oh, this person is from the devil. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ is saying, somebody was casting the devils, healing the sick, and doing so many good things, and now he is backslidden. And that person will think, oh, God was with me and I did signs and wonders and miracles and now I do whatever I want to do and one day I'll go to heaven. He said, it will not work that way. He said, that day I will tell you, I don't know you. And he will cast them out to the hell. And the one man asked me, how come? Here, word of God says, I never knew you. He says, doesn't God know everybody? So I gave him an example. I said, when you're committing sin, and you are a sinner, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? Your sins are forgiven, washed, cleansed, and now are you a sinner? No, you are righteous. And he does not say you are a sinner. He said, you are my child. God says, you are my child, you are washed in the blood of my son. Now when I see through the blood, you are righteous. The old man is dead and gone. The same way, if somebody was a righteous and give up the righteousness and follow the devil, and then God is not going to consider his righteousness at all. In a book of Ezekiel, he says, one righteous man starts saying, I'm righteous, and start doing sin, he said his righteousness will not save him. God will punish him and he will go to hell. Now we have an example. Go to the book of John. We have to do it fast, time is running. St. John chapter 6. Now here in St. John chapter 6, Jesus Christ was preaching. And what he was preaching, he was saying, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And many people did not like it. And some of the disciples walked away. Come on, read. I'll give a few verses. St. John chapter 6, verses 53 to 59.
Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Read the verse 60.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it?
Verse 66.
From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
Now, when you see this, here is saying, many of his disciples walked away and never walked with him again. Who are those disciples? Matthew chapter 10, there are 12 disciples. Luke chapter 10, there are 70 more disciples. But all these 70 disciples, when they heard this message, they walked away. Those are the disciples, the signs and wonders and miracles in Luke chapter 10. Those people said, we don't want to listen to Christ. We are going to walk away. And he says, not only walked away, they never walked with him again. That means completely backslidden. Read verse 67 to 69.
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
Now what he's trying to say? Jesus said, okay, these 70 people left. Would you like to go? Where we should go? You have the eternal life. You are the one giving us eternal life. We are not going to go away. Now those 70 people walked away. They were with Jesus Christ, did the signs and wonders and miracles. What Jesus Christ is saying, in the last day, when I try to put them in hell, and they start saying, oh, Master, we did signs and wonders and miracles, and they even call me Lord, Lord. I'll say, hey, did you do what I told you to do? Did you do according to my Father's will? No. So he will say, I don't know you. Get out of here. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to do. And that's what this example is all about. Go back to the Matthew chapter 7 and start reading from verse 24. Now this is another parable Jesus Christ is giving. Simple parables we teach in Sunday schools. And you might have heard it many a time.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes.
Now here he gave an example. He said there was a wise man, and there was a foolish man. Wise man built his house on the rock. Now, to build the house on the rock is not an easy thing. You have to work hard, dig down more, and so you will be sweating, you will be spending more money, you will be tired, but until they hit the rock, and then you build your house on the rock, and then it will not fall. He gave the example how the wind came, the rain came, and everything came, and nothing happened. So that man, he says, you're a wise man. And the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, he says, that rock is Christ. So he says, if you're building a church, building your spiritual life, build on the rock who is Christ. And if you start building your church, hay and wood and things like that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, the fire will burn it out. And so what we need our Christian life built on Christ, not on any denomination, not on man's theory, not on man's teaching. We want to build our church on the rock. And that's what the Bible is all about. Our life should be solid like a rock. And that rock is Christ. So immovable. Our life should be rooted and grounded in Christ. Let's rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. You have called us to preach the gospel, learn the truth, teach the truth, follow the truth. Not only call Lord, Lord, but we want to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is believing Jesus Christ, his Son. Please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. Give us grace to follow you and build our life on the solid rock, which is Christ. The man who built his house on the rock, he's a wise man. And the word of God says the wise people, those are the people who win souls for Christ. And the foolish people say there is no God. And so, Lord, we don't want to be foolish, but we want to be wise. Following Jesus Christ, because you said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and without me, no one can go to Father. And so, Lord, we want to follow you. Give us grace so we can tell others about Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.